And we'll go to Galatians chapter 5. I'm not going to do all of the message that I had prepared to do this morning. But over the next several weeks, I felt that was a good message in itself. Over the next several weeks, we're going to talk about the joy of the Lord. We've been through 3 years of very intense study in the book of Luke and in the book of Acts. So for the next 6 weeks or so, we're going to take some time and talk about different aspects of the joy of the Lord. And joy from the scripture has three definitions. Joy is a delight of the mind. Say with me, delight of the mind. A delight of the mind arising from an understanding that there is a current or a future good. Your mind takes delight in understanding that there's a future good. George Jontz was singing about that this morning. I'm going home. My home is not this place. The Bible says we are strangers and pilgrims on this earth as we walk with Jesus. We're citizens of a heavenly kingdom. Where's your home? In Christ. Where's Christ live? In my heart. Where are you going when you die? Heaven. Where are you living now? In heavenly places with Him. Right? Knowing that He is good. Number two, there's a moral joy. That which arises from doing anything good. When you do good things, doesn't it feel good? When you do something good for somebody else, doesn't it feel good? What, don't you guys know enough? Not enough people know that? Yeah, sure. You do good things for other people and something arises within your heart. There's a sense of joy. And the third thing is a spiritual joy. And that joy is from the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit in your life. And it comes from the promises and the gospel, which basically means the good news. Too many people put a terrible face on Jesus Christ as being the frowning news instead of the good news. The good news is Jesus loves you, delivers you, helps you, hopes, and gives you hope and life and peace and freedom and forgiveness and sometimes testing and the strength to make it through the testing. Come on, say amen or oh no, church. Thank you for being here. Christ's kingdom gives you joy, happiness. The spiritual joy is permanent. Now, happiness comes from a different word that you know. The different word that happiness comes from is the word happen. Things happen. And when things happen good, you feel happy. How many know that not every day, everything that happens is good? So you're not happy all the time, but sometimes it's mutter, murmur. But joy is not based on circumstances. Joy is something deeper. Joy resonates from the presence of the Lord. Joy is based on Him, His promises, what He's already done. Does He fill you with joy this morning? Does He put a joy in your heart? How can you rejoice? Two heart attacks, three heart attacks, dialysis 3 days a week, whatever the affliction might be in your body, cancer, problems, trauma, heart difficulties. Why is there a hope within you? Because Jesus saved me, delivered me. He's Lord of Lords, King of Kings, and He loves me, and by the way, loves you too. Joy is different. Joy is deeper. Some consider it sinful to laugh in church. Aren't you glad you don't go to a church like that? God's pros and chosen. We like to melt everybody out here, right? I'd rather laugh before the Lord than spend my day in a frown. Now, I know the Bible tells me God is angry all day long at sin. I know that. But the Bible talks about the joy of His presence, and the joy of the Lord is your strength. Yes. And He talks about another verse that's going to be our key verse this morning. How many understand that a merry heart does good, the Bible says, like a medicine? Remember what George said? He said it's a medicine that no doctor can give, the joy of the Lord. Walking in the Spirit brings joy. And the contrast in the Scriptures is always between two choices, one between death or life. And the choice is yours. Now, I don't know why we look at the negative things in life, sin and all that it does to destroy our life. Sin has nothing good in mind for you, don't you know? You know that, right? The devil has nothing good in mind for you. But we look at this attractive thing and it's fool's gold, and we choose that and it's death, or we can choose life in Jesus. And so we go, okay, well, for right now, I think I'll choose a little death. Thank you. and wonder why we have problems. Come on, say amen. You're not too religious for me, are you? Okay? You ever done that? Anybody in this room ever done that? Raise your hand right along with me. I expect you every hand. Okay, we've made a few wrong choices in our life. Back in 1942, I made a wrong choice. Never did it again. Okay, there's a problem sometimes. We make the wrong choice and we wonder why we have a problem. And Jesus said, I didn't tell you to go that way, honey. I told you to go this way. Oh. All right. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 25. I say then, verses 16 through 25 of Galatians 5. I say then, walk in the Spirit. Say that phrase with me, would you please? Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. The flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh. These things are contrary to one another, so you don't do the things you wish. Verse 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. In other words, it's not that there's no governing reality in your life, but the Holy Spirit is within you, and He governs you from within. You don't need something posted on the outside of you saying, don't do, don't do, don't do. You want to do what He wants you to do when you're full of His Spirit and life. Now, verse 19, the works of the flesh are evident. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, verse 20, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions. You know, God's kind of cool, you know. He kind of starts off with some big things. You go, oh, don't do that. I'm not as bad. I don't smoke. I don't chew. I don't run with those who do. And then it gets down to jealousies. Oh, now, wait a minute. Come on. Hatred. Oh, come on. Anger. Wrongful anger. Those are things we all can relate to. It's very quiet in here, but we can all relate to those, can't we? Yes, we can, Pastor Kevin. Happy birthday. Now move on. Outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, Lord, I want to inherit the kingdom of God. Then it calls for repentance. What is repentance? You're walking down the road one way, you turn around and walk the other way and back toward Jesus, because you know what I'm doing is sin. God, forgive me, help me. I don't even want to turn against the sin, but give me a heart that wants to. Lord, I repent of it. I turn away and I walk with you. Forgive me. And He establishes you again with fresh strength and fresh life. And then we move to the next verse, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. What's the next word? I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
Joy.
I'm sorry, I still can't hear. What is it?
Joy.
Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. Yeah, you think you're going to post a sign saying, joy forbidden here. There's no law against that, is there? Love, not allowed. No. Against such, there's no law. Those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, the result of surrender to Jesus, knowing He's forgiven you, washed you clean, delivered you, set you free. There's joy. The word kara in the Greek is the word for joy here, and it's delight. There's a place of delight in the Lord. Restoration and deliverance brings joy. Restoration and deliverance brings joy. Psalm 126, when the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Then our mouth was filled with laughter. Our tongue was singing. They said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord's done great things for us, and we're glad. Psalm 126 is all about when Israel went off into captivity. Remember, God kept saying to Israel, turn around, don't sin. Turn around, don't sin. Turn around, they sent prophet after prophet to them, and Israel kept sinning. Remember? See those bad Israelites. Sure glad I'm not like that. But what happens is, they kept sinning. And they kept sinning. And what happened was, who came in? Remember? Babylon came in and carted them off. The judgment of God fell. Jeremiah was the prophet to them around this time. And is prophesying, you know, turn or you're gonna, you know, you need to repent. Judgment's coming. And it did. And then God gave Jeremiah a new message. the weeping prophet who wept in brokenheartedness for the people in captivity. And then he got a message from God to give the people in captivity. I still love you. You're still mine. Deliverance will come. It's going to be 70 years, but deliverance is coming. And what happened, and we'll go into this in the ensuing weeks, the joy of the Lord infected them with life because deliverance then finally came. 490 years before his time, it was prophesied that a king on a throne named Cyrus would declare release for Israel to go back and rebuild Jerusalem. 490 years before Cyrus was on the scene. The Bible says, and a prophet said, Cyrus shall set them free. 490 years later, a king named Cyrus. You ever wonder if the Bible's true? It's not just a fable. Cyrus came on the scene and set them free. The 70 years of captivity were done, and Israel comes back to the land. We read about Ezra. Then we read about Nehemiah. We read about restoration. And we read about the joy of the Lord. But what's happening here, this is the psalm that's there on their way back. The Lord turned again our captivity. Anybody ever been delivered by the Lord? He bailed me out. He got me out of the problem. I don't want to go back into it, but thank God he got me out. How many in this room have ever received everything they deserved from the hand of God? But you're still here. That's proof you didn't, right? Okay. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. Those who sow in tears, verse 5 of Psalm 126, the Bible says, shall reap in joy. They'll come again with rejoicing. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall come again with joy and gladness. Return of the captivity. Forgiveness brings joy. Restoration, deliverance, forgiveness brings joy. When the weights of shame and condemnation go off your shoulder, don't you know that forgiveness brings joy? Anybody in this room ever been forgiven? I'm looking for lots of feedback this morning because I'm talking to real people. Anybody ever sinned? Anybody ever been forgiven? Good, I'm talking to the right crowd. You bet. I don't mean to be glib about it, but man, isn't there something precious and pure, and those hot tears run down your cheeks and you know you're forgiven. Thank God that weight's off my shoulders. I don't have to walk the rest of my life in guilt and shame, condemnation. He's got healing and love and forgiveness. Matthew 9, verses 1 through 8. Listen to this. Matthew 9, verses 1 through 8. You can turn to it if you want. Matthew 9, 1 through 8, Jesus gets into a boat, crosses over, comes to his own city, the Bible says. Matthew 9, verses 1 through 8, verse 2. Then behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you. Say it with me. Be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. Now, he broke some people's speakers right there. They had a apoplectic fit because they couldn't understand, how can this man forgive sins? And the scripture goes on to say, he says, is it easier for me to say your sins be forgiven or be healed? The joy. Be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. Joy. Now I'm going to contrast a couple of final points. Joy brings healing. Now I know it could seem that I should say healing brings joy, and that's true. But joy brings healing. Proverbs 17, verse 22, which is our key for this morning. Proverbs 17, verse 22. A merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. In the King James, a merry heart is said to do good like a medicine. Another version, an alternative reading, is to a medicine, does good to a medicine. The Revised Version and the American Standard Version says a merry heart is good medicine. Another Revised Version renders it causes good healing. And that's the form that's in the Septuagint. And it goes on to say, or mean in another area, does good to the body. A cheerful disposition brings good to your body. Can you say amen? Amen? My mom was a modeling instructor, and she had her own schools, and she used to tell me, and I've told you this before, she used to, what was it? Kevin, it takes 114 facial muscles to frown, and only 24 to smile. So smile. Yes, Mom. But it takes fewer muscles to smile than to frown. And I confess right along with you that I spend a lot of time in life frowning instead of rejoicing. In the New Testament, Jesus says, the Bible says, rejoice evermore. I'm sorry, how long? Tuesdays at 2 o'clock, rejoice. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. Now, interestingly, it doesn't say for everything. Not everything's thanksworthy, but in the midst of everything, I can still give thanks to Jesus for being good. I can still love him. I can still be joyful. How do you do it, Pastor Kevin? We need Jesus and we need each other to help us, don't we? Maybe one of the best things we can say in loving, not in condemnation, is cheer up. Jesus is with you. Huh? Look at each other. Say that this morning. Cheer up. Jesus is with you. A cheerful disposition, the Bible really says, is a powerful healing agent. A broken spirit, heavy depression, causes destructive processes in the body. Broken spirit literally is nake, and that's in Hebrew, and it means to be smitten, to be afflicted. And it dries the bones. That literally is yabashe, and it means to be ashamed, confused, disappointed, dry up, wither. A spirit of depression, constantly going down in the mouth, dries up your life when praise focuses you on Jesus and brings life and healing to the body. Now, let me just give you a few studies, all right? Medical studies, just a few. Adults laugh approximately 15 times a day. Children laugh about 400 times a day. Somewhere when we grew up, we stopped some of the laughter. We know that there are two types of stress, good stress, bad stress. Laughter is a form of good stress or stress in reverse. Bad stress has been medically proven, it suppresses your immune system. But both sides of the body, or all sides of the body, get a boost in the immune system when laughter takes place. There were subjects that went through a solid hour of merriment from videos that they watched from comedians. And another control group sat quietly out of earshot, and the doctors took blood samples about every 10-minute intervals during and after the laughter workout. They found this: humor and exercise trigger similar psychological processes. Like conditioned athletes, the laughter group showed increases in good hormones, such as endorphins. Anybody ever hear of endorphins? We like our endorphins to swim. They showed good endorphins and neurotransmitters and decreased levels of the stress hormones, cortisol and adrenaline. It was a counterbalance to tension. When you release the tension, the elevated levels of the body's hormones drop back to normal. And cells which produce antibodies produce increased numbers. T cells, which combat viruses, are activated and more ready for battle after laughter. Our natural killer cells increase in number and activity, all because of laughter. Isn't that good? Anybody want to laugh? Okay, all right, a few of you. There's an old saying, there's a truth in the old saying, he who laughs, laughs. He who laughs, laughs. Laughter appears to tell the immune system to turn it up a notch. An increase in the antibody IgA, immunoglobulin A, which fights upper respiratory tracts, tract insults and infections, increases. The good stuff increases with laughter. An increase in gamma interferon, which tells various components of the immune system to turn on, occur with laughter. An increase in the immunoglobulin produced in the greatest quantity in body, as well as increase in complement 3, helps antibodies to pierce dysfunctional or infected cells. And it continued right on after the study into the person's body into the next day. They have discovered that laughter can reduce pain. Laughter is a powerful distraction from pain. That's why, you know, a few years ago, Robin Williams did a movie about Patch Adams and some of the medical laughter things, and they hand out trays with videos and books now, joke books and different things to try to get people laughing more because the body responds to it. Muscle relaxation, reduce of stress, and immune system enhancement, pain reduction, cardiac exercise. People with heart disease were 40% less likely to laugh in a variety of situations compared to people of the same age without heart disease. People with heart disease responded less humorously to everyday life situations unless God gets involved in the life to turn a frown into a smile. There's a lot to be down in the mouth about, isn't there? Can you say amen? Take a look at the society all around you, folks. There's a lot to be down in the mouth about. You got wars and rumors of wars. You got afflictions and no cures. And you got people, I can tell you just even in my own occupation, people are more angry than I've ever seen before in the last 3 years. Anybody ever notice that? You know, drivers will cut you off. Of course, you never cut off a driver, you know, right? Never do that. But there's more anger, more road rage, more rage in general. And what people need is the delivering life of Jesus Christ. Forgiveness that brings healing and joy and healing that comes from joy and joy that gives you healing and love and life and laughter. And people don't know there's a reason to be able to have any hope in life anymore. But there is. And his name is Jesus. No matter how many questions arise, there's always still one answer. His name is Jesus. No matter what wars rage, there's still only one solver of the human heart, one heart at a time. And his name is Jesus. What a God. A merry heart does good like a medicine. Psalm 30, 11 and 12, you turned for me my mourning into dancing. You put up my sackcloth. You clothed me with gladness. To the end my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. Lord, I give you thanks forever. Folks, it's a new day. It's a new day in Jesus every day. Are you glad when you woke up today that yesterday was gone? Not that the good stuff is gone, but by the grace of God, that which is under the blood is gone. Tomorrow is ahead in a good way for those who know the Lord. Past sins, gone. Past mistakes, gone. Past heartaches can be touched and healed by the life of Jesus. A merry heart can only be merry, really, by the grace of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For he sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And that's a reason to have joy. And that's a reason to have a merry heart. And a merry heart does good like a medicine. Let's stand. Lord, we've had a rich time together in church this morning. We've laughed and sung with George, with each other. We've come and we've worshiped you. Jesus, you are great and greatly to be praised. Lord, I pray that each person here this morning will know a wonderful sense of your presence as they go out from this place. A reason to have joy. Even in dark and dreary days of discouragement, we can have the passionate praise of Jesus on our lips and joy within our hearts because you are Lord and we love you.